Again, we're happy to have everyone here tonight. We encourage you to take your Bibles and follow them, because tonight we're going to study about prayer. Well, prayer is very important. Over in Revelation chapter 8, we see where prayer is referred to as the incense of the saints. It's like incense, a sweet aroma unto God. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, the text says there, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of incense came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So it's important that we have a good understanding of prayer. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we see where the text says there, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Then over in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, Jesus said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Then he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This prayer we just read was not the Lord's Prayer. That's what it's referred to. It's the prayer he taught his disciples to pray. The Lord's Prayer is over in John chapter 17 that we'll read here as we go through this lesson. But the Lord taught his disciples about prayer. He taught them how not to pray versus how to pray, as we read. And we need to understand how we should pray to God so our prayers will be heard, and various things about prayer that we need to know. Now, prayer is commanded of Christians by God. For example, in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, Jesus said, watch ye, therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass and to stand for the Son of Man. Paul told those in Thessalonica to pray without ceasing, so prayer should be a regular part of our daily lives as a Christian. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, he said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, serious-minded, and watch unto prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, Paul said, Master, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Then he said, continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving. With all praying, also for us, that God would open unto us the door of utterance, and to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond. So one of our appeals to God should be that the gospel will have free course and doors will be open throughout the world, like as we're seeing over in India, that people might be allowed to speak the truth to those who want to hear it without persecution. So what is prayer? In this lesson, we'll learn what prayer is. We'll learn the kinds of prayer. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss conditions of acceptable prayer. We'll talk about attributes needed and acceptable prayer. We'll talk about acknowledgement seen in prayer and hindrances to prayer. So what is prayer? Now, prayer is more than just wishful thinking. It's the heart's desire expressed to God. It involves praise, adoration, thanksgiving, request. And we noted that when we read Romans chapter 10, that Paul prayed, didn't he? Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul said that he had a heart's desire. He prayed. He said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He went on to say, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But," he said, "for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteous everyone that believeth." So the desire of Paul's inner man, notice he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. So he prayed for his Jewish brethren that they might accept the gospel message and be forgiven of their sins. Paul had first-hand knowledge of the Jews' zeal for God and the passion the Jews shared for God was not according to knowledge, Paul said. The Old Testament foretold of the coming Messiah, his kingdom, over in Daniel chapter 2, it was prophesied. His doctrine in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, was prophesied as coming. And the Jews had access to all these prophecies, yet they chose to ignore him. And Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Now, in the book that we use in Antioch, entitled Hymns for Worship, we had a song, and the title of it, "Prayer is the Sincere Heart's, or the Soul's Sincere Desire." It's number 529. It goes like this: "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered and expressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that different lips can try. Prayer is the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the contrite sinner's voice returning from his ways, while angels in their songs rejoice and cry, 'Behold, he prays.' Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thou hast trod, Lord, teach us how to pray." A very good song. Very beautiful words. So prayer, that soul's sincere desire, like Paul prayed when he prayed for Israel. There are different kinds of prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, Paul said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Have you ever prayed that we might be able to worship God and continue to worship Him without being persecuted? We need to pray for that, don't we? We need to pray for others in foreign lands who are being persecuted, that they will not be persecuted. So Paul here mentions supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Supplications are prayers asking God's aid in some particular matter related to a specific need. Prayers are a more general term and meaning, conveying or covering every form of address to God and including the idea of worship and devotion. Then he mentions intercessions. This is a falling in with, meeting with, in which a petition or plea is presented on behalf of another or others. So many times we pray on behalf of others. For example, we pray that Brother Mickey Galloway might recover from his heart surgery, which he did, and the Lord answered that prayer. The prayer or involves thanksgiving, doesn't it? This is the acknowledgement that all benefits and blessings and all around are from God. It is gratitude and graceful praise. For example, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, Paul said, "As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as we have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving," he said. We're to abound with thanksgiving. We're to be overflowing in our minds and attitudes towards God, thanking Him for many things. So, the large portion of our prayer should be thanking Him for what He's given us, instead of asking things from Him. He knows what we need before He asks. We read that. We read this morning James chapter 1, verse 7. Or Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." In Matthew chapter 6, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. The text is there, beginning at verse 24. It says, "No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, and what you shall drink, nor yet your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow, not neither do they reap, nor gather up in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought of his, can add to one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what, or that you have need of all these things." He knows what we need. Notice that phrase. He knows what we need. But we want and ask for what we want, don't we? What we want is not what we need in most times, in most cases. But he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof." So do we give God thankfulness for the things that he's provided? If we seek him first, he'll provide those things that we need abundantly. See, the psalmist said in Psalms 75, verse 1, he says, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare." As we noted this morning in James chapter 1, verse 7, James said that all good gifts and perfect gifts come from God. He said every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above and from the Father of life, with whom is no variableness, neither the shadow of turning. So all good and perfect things come from God. So God blesses the evil and the good, doesn't he? Then in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was before the Ephesians, Paul said that God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things. Then in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, Jesus said, "Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then being evil now, know not how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" But when we ask in faith of God through prayer, number one, ask knowing he knows what we need already. He knows what we need. Be careful what you ask for. But there are conditions of acceptable prayer. We need to discuss that and understand that. Number one, prayer should be in the name of Christ. John said, and recorded in John chapter 14, verse 13, the words of Jesus, when he said, "Whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." Then over in John chapter 16, John chapter 16, beginning at verse 23, John 16, verse 23, Jesus said this. He said, beginning at verse 23, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it unto you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I will not say unto you that I will pray to the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and ye have believed that I am from God." So why did the Father love them? Because they were faithful to Christ, weren't they? They were faithful to Christ. John 15, verse 16, Jesus said, "Ye did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you," referring to his disciples, "that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask in the ask the Father in my name, he may give unto you." In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we see we must ask in obedience, or we must be in obedience, or ask accordingly to his will, in obedience to his will. And in John chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, John said, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," notice that, what we ask is to be according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire or ask of him. So can we ask for a pink Cadillac and expect to get it? No, it has to be according to his will. It must be things of a spiritual nature, things that we're commanded to pray for. Over in 1 Kings chapter 8, we see where this asking and obedience to his will implies having a knowledge of his will. In 1 Kings chapter 8, see where Solomon prays. He prays, and notice what he said, beginning at verse 22. Solomon prayed. He stood before the altar of God, of the Lord, in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart." What is it? That is implied. When we walk before thee with all thy heart, we know his will, don't we? We have to know his will in order to act accordingly. "Who keepest with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, thou speakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thy hand as it is this day. Now therefore, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fall thee a man in thy sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, and that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let my word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David my father. But God will indeed dwell in the earth. Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee this day, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there. Thou mayest hearken unto thy prayer, which thy servant shall make toward this place. and hearken to thy supplication of thy servant and thy people Israel when they pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. So David prayed to God, didn't he? He prayed to God. Or Solomon prayed to God. See, Jesus prayed, didn't he? What did Jesus pray for? Jesus prayed that all would be united in truth, didn't he? So that implies we have to know what the truth is in order to remain in the truth. So the apostles were sent forth to teach the truth. Jesus gave them all truth. And so in John chapter 17, we see Jesus' prayer. This is the prayer of Jesus. And Jesus prayed beginning at verse 1, we'll start. He says, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, and that thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Christ Jesus whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast sent, for them which thou hast given me, that they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Thou that gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Turn to Judas Iscariot. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them to thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So we see where Jesus prayed for unity and truth. He prayed that people would be united in the truth that the apostles taught. So conditions of acceptable prayer include obedience to his will. It includes persistence and fervency. In Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 5, the text is there. Jesus said unto them, he says, which one of you shall have a friend and go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. And I say, through, though he will not arise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will arise and give him as many as he needs. So when one persists, that's all he wants to get is sleep. best thing that he can do is give to the man what he needs, so the man will go on his way and he can get to sleep. Persistence pays, doesn't it? Ever been persistent in a matter and finally got what you want, and you're rejected but finally got what you want? So persistence and fervency are important. Now, fervent, that word fervent means to be hot, to boil as of liquid or glow. Figuratively, to be fervent or earnest. I'm reminded of what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 when he talked about the day of the coming of the Lord. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 to 12, he says, "But the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The fire also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all the things shall be dissolved. And what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation?" All holy conversation in godliness. "Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." So our prayers must be fervent. Now, you've seen the Kilauea volcano, it's erupting. You know, you have lava flowing, red lava, fervent heat. Man, you can seemingly feel the heat just looking at it through the TV screen. Fervent. So our prayers should be persistent and fervent. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, we see an example of persistence and fervency. The text says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and to faint not," he said. "Saying, there is a city, in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." She was persistent. She didn't give up. She didn't give up. She was fervent. James chapter 5, verse 16. James said, "Confess your trespasses or faults one to another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." We talked about Elijah, who was a man like our nature, and he prayed earnestly. There would not rain, did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul spoke of Epaphras. Notice how he describes him. He said, "Epaphras," he says, "which is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Do we make a say that thing to that nature in our prayers about individuals? That they might stand perfect and complete, be fervent and service unto God? Fervent. We have to be persistent, don't we? Our prayers should be fervent prayers. See, there's attributes that are needed in acceptable prayer. Number one, humility. Now, humility, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 9, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican is a good illustration of this. Jesus spake this parable to some who trusted in themselves and thought they were righteous and despised others. And he said, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector or a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." See, not being an extortioner, not being unjust, not being an adulterer, that's something to pray for, isn't it? See, this man, the Pharisee, compared himself to the publican. He lacked humility when he did that. The publican, remember, he was not looking toward heaven, but beat upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Notice verse 1 there. Notice verse 1. The man ought always to pray and to faint not. That's one of the things that he said as he opened that chapter. Verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart or faint. You need to pray in love. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 44 through 45, Jesus said, but I send you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When Stephen gave his offense and was being stoned, he looked up to heaven and he said that he urged God not to lay the sin to their charge. He had a forgiving spirit. He showed love towards those, even those who stoned him and those who persecuted Jesus. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he said, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So when we get in squabbles, we need to read this verse. When people get into a squabble, we need to read this verse. And everybody take a break. One go to one corner, one to the other, and pray. That'll solve your problems. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 wrote his, what I call his love letter. Notice the attitude that we have that Paul expresses there. And if we don't have these things, if we don't have these attributes, then we're going to be at each other's throat. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, beginning at verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Notice how he describes love or charity. He said, charity suffereth wrong, is kind, and envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part and prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part should be done away. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And Paul put on love, didn't he? So for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity or love. And then we must pray with expectation. If we pray not thinking the Lord will answer our prayers, there's something wrong with our lives somewhere. We need to pray expecting the Lord and having confidence of the Lord or faith that the Lord will answer our prayers. In Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 19, disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For surely I say unto you, if ye have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting, referring to casting out devils. They couldn't do it. They didn't have the faith to do it. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you that whatever things ye ask when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and you will have them. Remember, we must ask in faith. We must ask in faith. So we must ask using wisdom. And God will give us wisdom, but we have to work for it. I mean, ask Bob. You can't put your hand, or George, you can't put your hand on the Bible, and by osmosis, you're going to learn God's Word. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of study, reading. Find out the truth. Bob's illustrating that in our study of Ezekiel. He's bringing out some things that I wasn't aware of. James said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally, without reproach, will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So if we doubtfully serve God, we need to go back and review our faith, examine our faith, and do a self-examination. See, there are attributes needed for acceptable prayer. One is watchfulness. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, the cup of suffering. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will, or you will. Then he came to his disciples and found them asleep. And said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, he said, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So watchfulness is often connected with prayer. We see that in a number of places. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 32, Jesus said, but the day of the Lord, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. He said, take heed and watch and pray. We did not know when the time is. We sing the song, watch and pray, for the Lord is coming. I don't remember that. If that's in our book, I don't think it's in this book, but it's a good song. Watch and pray. Jesus said, the coming is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. He said in verse 35, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, of coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. In Luke chapter 21, Luke records this. He says, watch therefore, and pray always, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Paul and his appeal to wear the Christian armor, he ended that by saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto of all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So when I was in the Navy, we always had watches, didn't we? Even when we're in the home port, we had a watch or somebody on a watch. Uniform Code of Military Justice determined that one caught sleeping and watched during war as tonsil by death. Don't get caught sleeping. Don't get caught sleeping spiritually. So we need to continue in prayer and watch, Paul said, in the same with thanksgiving, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be watchful, as American Standard renders that. It says be diligent in the New King James, but he said, be sober, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So to be on guard, on watch. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, we see that we must have a godly life. Solomon said in Proverbs 15, 29, he says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Notice he says, he's far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. In Proverbs 28, verse 9, he said, he turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. He that turneth away his ear from God's word. In John chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus said, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So we must be godly in life for God to hear our prayers. See, there's certain acknowledgments seen in prayer. We need to acknowledge that God exists. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 teaches us this. He said, but without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that he is, that he is the Son of God. We must realize and acknowledge our need for God. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him shall bring forth much fruit. He said, for without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. That shows our utter dependence upon God. God hears prayers of the righteous. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The psalmist said in Psalm 65, verse 2, he said, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. See, God answers prayer. We need to acknowledge that. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. Jesus had asked, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it shall be open unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And him that who knocks will be open. Or if a man is among you, if a son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If them being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him? So we need to ask, knock, and seek. And then we must be humble and realize God cares for us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, Peter said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. For God cares for us, doesn't he? And finally, there's hindrances to prayer. And selfish requests are a hindrance. James says, for whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust, ye have not, ye kill and desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have because ye ask not, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it among your lusts. This belief is a hindrance. In James chapter 1, verse 5, James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed. Then we must be persistent. Or not be persistent. I have that slide wrong. Persistence in sin is a hindrance to prayer. That's right. Persistence in sin is a hindrance to prayer. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9 again, Psalm said, he that turneth his ear from the Lord's, or from the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Peter said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer, for the face of the Lord is against those that do evil." Psalm said in Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So we must be pure of sin. So persistence in sin hinders our prayers. And failure to forgive others. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 12, as we read when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Anyone on the safer, if you give men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And in James chapter 2, verse 13, or Matthew 18, 21, Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" And he said, "Until seven times." He answered that. He said, "Until seven times." And Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times." So as often as a person asks for your forgiveness, you should give that to him. You need to be going the extra mile. James said in James chapter 2, verse 13, he said, "For we shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment." Then we need to realize that unrighted wrongs can hinder our prayers. Jesus said that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. He said, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." So unrighted wrongs can not only hinder our prayer, but our worship to God. Our worship to God. And then self-righteousness. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. Jesus taught this. He said in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, he said, "Take heed, do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And in Matthew, or Luke chapter 18, we read this already, we'll not read it again, but the story of the proud Pharisee and the publican. The proud Pharisee was not humble, the publican was. See, prayers can be hindered by marital problems. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7, Paul said, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with him according to knowledge. Give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life." Notice he said that. Heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. See, marital problems, fussing and fighting between mom and dad, can hinder your prayers, can hinder your worship and service to God. Then finally, wrong priorities. Jesus said in Matthew or Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 29, he said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands," notice, "with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." See, in this life, There'll be some persecution that will come our way. Even as faithful as we are, there'll be persecutions. But the glory of it all is to have eternal life. Then finally, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So what do you put first? You put something before God first, then your prayers will be hindered. So in our review, we talked about what prayer is, or what is prayer. We talked about kinds of prayer, conditions of acceptable prayer, attributes needed in acceptable prayer, acknowledgments seen in prayer, and hindrances to prayer. And the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 84, beginning at verse 8, he said, "O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Let's remember these things as we pray. If there's anyone here tonight who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation, if anyone here is a Christian, we encourage you to think about these important points about prayer and ensure that we're praying in a way that's acceptable to God so that our prayers will not be hindered. If you're in any way subject to the Lord's invitation, we urge you to come as together we stand and sing the songs and select, shall we stand and sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, number 662.